Attention to the theater season opening for 2019, and we have a couple of openings in about half an hour. We'll hear from Lake City Playhouse, and now it's my pleasure that we are going to hear from Stage Left. Stage Left, which is opening a play this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then for the following two weekends, The Controversy of Valladolid. And we're about to find out about that play, its significance to then, to now, and many more things. We have three actors from the play here, and we have the director, Maynard Villars. Good morning, Maynard.
Good morning, Vern. Long time, my friend.
Welcome back. Great to have you directing a play. It must be great to be directing a play.
It is. It's really good to be back in the saddle. It was time.
Yeah.
It was time to
come. And so right away, we got the word controversy in the title. We have a name that at least one Spanish teacher who called me up about my mispronunciation this morning knew well, Valladolid. And so this is something that is known. This is an event. This is a cultural, historical cultural happening. What was the controversy of Valladolid?
Well, it's a condensation of an argument that went on for several years between a very famous philosopher of the time and an equally famous man of the cloth, a Dominican monk by the name of Bartolomé de las Casas. The philosopher was Ginés de Sepúlveda. And they were debating whether or not the Aztecs of Mexico, whom the Spanish had already conquered and were subjugating, abusing, slaughtering, were actually human beings.
And so this takes place somewhere in the 1500s.
It takes place in the mid-1500s, 1550 and 1551.
So that's when there was a lot of colonial conquering going on.
Right, it was less than 60 years after Columbus's landing in the New World.
Okay, so so illuminate a little bit more this idea of the essential question that this play deals with.
As it is portrayed in the play, the Vatican has taken an interest in this this controversy. The cardinal who is presiding over these proceedings states that the Vatican has heard, the Holy Father, who at that time was Paul III, had heard about these accusations of atrocities in the New World. Granted, most of them were coming from Spain's enemies, England and France, but he shows up to preside over a debate to find out the truth of the matter, and then he will decide on behalf of the Pope whether or not the Aztecs are human beings.
Okay, well, let's. And then you mentioned that made very famous by this was a man of the cloth, and that was Brother Bartolomé, and that's Stephen Schneidmiller has that role. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Vern.
And I know you in many different, capable of many different roles and kind of moods and approaches, but what does it feel like to be Brother Bartolomé?
Well, it's a lot different than any other character I've portrayed. I mean, I have played characters that have been, you know, vocal or, you know, been maybe not the most popular person in the room. You know, a while back I played a playboy kind of, you know, adventurer type person that, you know, always said things, you know, spoke his mind even if, you know, wasn't, you know, people's, you know, taste and everything, which is... as far as playing a man of the cloth, you know, it's a little different. There's very much a what was interesting is when I first was kind of, you know, was reading this part, I was kind of basing it more kind of just on priests that I've talked to or even stories that I've heard, you know, of like the past, like, I mean. One of the most famously a character, Saint Nicholas, you know, a long time ago during a council, he was not the most popular person when he kind of got a little physical with one of the characters. So in some ways, you know, Brother Bartolomé is very much a controversial person, you know, in the type of, you know, role that he has. And and this play is actually very physical. So It's not just simply, I mean, there's a lot of talking, but it's not just talking.
And so Brother Bartolome isn't just going to sit passively around when he doesn't,
right.
something
right.
he doesn't believe in goes
yes.
on. Because with almost anything like this that brings in the history of the church, you have different levels of the church. And so what I want to get down a little closer, which kind of priest are you? Are you part of the conquering people, Europeans mm-hmm. that's in there to subjugate the local people
right.
and take over and wipe out their culture? Or are you defending them? Or, who are you in this controversy?
In this, I am the one that's advocating for the human rights of the Aztecs.
Yeah.
And Sepulveda, the person that I'm basically kind of debating with, he starts asking me questions to kind of get to have an understanding of my background and everything, my character went into the New World when he was 18, so I mean he was apparently was the first priest to kind of perform his first mass in the New World, at the same time, it seemed like, based on the script, he was for a moment going along with the stuff that was going on until he was convicted when he was reading scripture and realizing that what the Spanish were doing was wrong.
Was it? Yeah, okay. And this is kind of interesting because this is the 1500s, and while it sounds kind of outrageous, would they be arguing? And you're welcome, and you other people are welcome to jump into any of this before we get more specific. How outrageous it is to decide are the Aztecs humans or not? But it was 200 years later that blacks in America were officially designated 3/5 of a person.
Exactly.
And so I guess there's way too much tradition here.
And then in the 20th century, what was going on in Europe, in fact, originally this is a French play, Jean-Claude Carrière was the original author. It's been it was translated into English.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Richard
as you
Nelson.
Say,
so,
20th century Germany and our Jews people at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a recurring theme in human civilization.
Yeah. Well, let's bring in now a little bit more of how this dramatist Carrière, how he turns this into a drama, and we have here Darlene McCarty, who plays an Aztec woman, and so Darlene, kind of talk about how you feel in that role, and kind of how's this Aztec woman feeling as she's being talked about whether she is or isn't human?
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Yeah.
I play the Aztec grandma or Nana, and I have a young man who's my son, and we have a little girl who's my granddaughter. And we come to the show shipped from Aztec to Spain, and we're very humble. And we're scared, and we don't know where we're at or what's going to happen, and we don't understand these people when they are talking because it's a different language. I enjoy this role because I am Native American, and, our people have suffered a lot all these years, and it kind of brings back the history of all indigenous people that had suffered from, but not knowing who we are.
Sure,
and
yeah.
to see, are we human or are we not human?
Mm-hmm.
And also religion. The Native American religion is so far different from the Catholic or any other church. If they don't understand our religion, like they will think that this statue is some crazy statue, and to us it's just probably created in our heart and not the statue. But I really enjoy this play. I'm hoping I'll do a great job and playing the humble grandma.
It sounds to me already like
you
will.
It's been enjoyable on stage three again.
Nice. Well, welcome back to that. And Bob Nelson, you're the abbot, so which aspect of the priesthood do you represent in this play?
Actually, the abbot is quite a small part. He appears through most of it to be just listening as an adjunct to the cardinal. And I am here, actually, more as a representative of stage left mm-hmm. than of this particular play.
Nevertheless, you're standing on stage and watching this play go on. So illuminate a little bit more. Maybe talk about if you are the cardinal's sidekick. Can you defend the cardinal here? on any level?
Yeah, for the most part, I take the cardinal's attitude in all of this and follow along with whatever it is mm-hmm. that he wants to decide.
Because it's the cardinal who is advocating that the Aztecs are not human, right?
No, the cardinal is the one that is there to make the decision and listen to the debate.
Oh.
The debaters are Las Casas and Sepúlveda. Sepúlveda, you'll have to...
Yeah, Maynard, come talk about Sepúlveda.
Yes, Juan Ginas de Sepúlveda, a famous philosopher of the time, and he was taking the position that if the Aztecs were human, they were a lower class, born to be slaves, born to serve the Europeans, that God had created them for the Spaniards' use. And we should give them every opportunity to become Christian, but if they choose not to, then slaves they shall be.
Mm-hmm. But they could never hope to be equal.
Not in his eyes, no.
Yeah.
And that was the prevailing attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, Las Casas was a bit of a maverick in that, to so strongly advocate for the human rights of indigenous persons.
Yeah, and so that's then the essence of this play is this essentially debate between this trial, if you will, hearing, whatever you want to call it, that goes on stage. Talk about that from a theatrical point of view and that from your directorial point of view of how you make great theater out of this.
Well, the history part of this historical drama is a very solid framework on which to build a show that we want to spark some very deep reflection and thought and debate. Even anger will be fine, as long as that anger is turned to positive action. The playwright constructed the play in such a way that in and of itself has been a little bit controversial about the native peoples being given no lines.
Mm.
But I think that was part of his intent, was to get us to imagine ourselves in that position of being nameless and voiceless mm-hmm. and completely unable to grasp what is going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
But for us to see these people on stage having their fate being decided by these highfalutin and clerics and philosophers.
Sure. So, Darlene, as the Aztec grandma, you don't have any lines. You don't have any lines in the play.
I say a couple of native words during the fight scene in another scene, but no, I'm mostly just standing there, observing.
So your job, your theatrical job, is to probably show things on your face, isn't it?
Yeah. My actions and my face expressions.
Yeah. That must be kind of an interesting kind of acting to do, isn't it?
I'm used to doing that.
There you go. And what about you, the director? So you direct people through that, yeah.
Yes, and I realize it's not an easy task to be in those roles, filling those roles. There are things we can... terms we always throw out, like active listening. Okay, you're actively listening to something you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even comprehend. You don't know why you're there. You were dressed up in your ceremonial clothes, thrown on a boat, sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. One member of your party died on the way, and you're getting sick, and they're doing all these weird things. There are all these strange things happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, so the playwright really wants us to imagine that. And, of course, for some members of the audience, it will be much easier to imagine than for others.
Sure. And Bob Nelson, who is very involved with Stage Left Theater, and I don't know exactly how it reads in your mission statement, but that Stage Left Theater deals with point of view plays. Were you involved in the choosing of this play?
Yes, I believe that I brought this play to the committee for approval. I have been more or less the head of the play selection committee since the beginning. I founded Stage Left myself, and it has been part of our mission from the beginning to do plays that make people think about issues in the society, in politics, in religion, and to go away thinking concretely about issues and their attitude toward these issues. And this play falls directly into that, because you can't come away from this play without seriously considering your own attitudes towards racism. And in fact, the discussions of racism that are currently going on in our political environment. So this fits very well into the model that Stage Left likes to pursue.
This play called The Controversy of or At?
Of.
The Controversy of Valladolid. Is that a place? What is Valladolid?
It is. Valladolid is the capital of Castile in Spain. And there is a very famous monastery there. It's called the Pink Monastery because building materials in certain light, it glows pink. But that's not important, because if you want to get hung up on the history of the historical drama, the debate didn't even take place there. It really took place once they actually got together and debated. It was in the court of Carlos V, the king.
Mm-hmm. In Madrid.
Yeah. They had started, Sepulveda and Las Casas had started this debate years before in print. Today it would be a Twitter war.
Yeah, right, yeah. And so so that's The Controversy of Valladolid, which opens this Friday, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 2 o'clock, and then the following two weekends at Stage Left. What else? What other aspect of the texture of this play, the importance of this play, strikes you?
It strikes me that it's always valuable for us to take a look at how we got to where we are, where some of our attitudes come from, how hard it is to completely dispel them, that we each look at life through a lens of perception. Mm-hmm. Some of it's of our own making, and part of it is influences, and that you have to step away every once in a while to really look at someone else. This is about how easy it is to objectify the other, even among those who have their best interests at heart. Everybody is looking at it through this filter, this lens, perceiving people as they've been taught to perceive them, or they have learned somehow to perceive them, and how maybe we need to get past that, to be objective without objectifying, if that's even possible.
That's a great motto. I trust we'll keep that around, to be objective without objectifying.
So I hope so.
Thank you. Maynard Villars, who's directing this play, and in the cast, well, representing the theater, especially Bob Nelson, and then Darlene McCarty as the Aztec grandma, and Stephen Schneidmiller is the very central to this play, Brother Bartolome. So thank you all for coming in.
Thank you, Ernest.
Thank you.
And